Good morning, House. We've had a long weekend, and now we've got to get back down to business. There are a few members that are going to be late. I know those are in appropriations. We're going over some final amendments. Today is the 30th day of the session. It's February 22nd, 2005. Assistant Chief Clerk will call roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Farner. Berger. Frechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholt. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingrich. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen.
I'll excuse him in the second round.
Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lobno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Forbert. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlin. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Anderson.
Excused.
Anderson excused. Berger.
Excused.
Berger excused. Buholt.
Excused.
Buholt excused. Hageman.
Excused.
Hageman excused. Jones.
Excused.
Jones excused. Jorgensen.
Excused.
Jorgensen excused. Miley.
Excused.
Miley excused. Peterson.
Excused.
Peterson excused. Philp.
Barely excused.
Philp excused. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Excused.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused. Warren.
Excused.
Warren excused. 59 present, 11 excused.
I think that would be 40.
I mean 49. I'm sorry. I can't read this morning.
As I said, that extra day has just thrown us all off, hasn't it? Yeah. Today's prayer will be offered by the Reverend Dr. Robert Schmidt, representing St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. We pray that you help us to fulfill your will, that we may get along and discuss deep issues for the good of this state and the good of our country. We ask that as you send us the power of your Spirit, that we make decisions in this body that is for the good of all your people and the people of this state. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Members of the House have a special treat today. Today we're going to be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by the fifth grade class of the Hebert Elementary. They're coming out here now. Please welcome them. Get everyone settled. They're going to lead us in the pledge, and then they're going to do a second pledge for us in Spanish. So, Hebert Huskies, lead us away.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, Thank you very much.
Students, thank you very much. It was an honor for us to have you here. We very much enjoyed your sense of patriotism and dedication. And again, thank you for taking time out of school to join us. Yeah. You're ready for... Welcome back. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 18, 2005 has been read. Recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Goggles, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you. You've heard the reading of the report. Without objection, the Journal Committee report is adopted. Messages from the Senate.
Message 356. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with Ally Committee No. 1 from the House. On amendments to Senate File 14, the Senate conferees are Senator Barrasso, Chairman, Senator Anderson, and Senator Meyer. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 357. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with Ally Committee No. 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 80. The Senate conferees are Senator Scott, Chairman, Senator Allman, Senator DiCaria. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 358. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with Ally Committee No. 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 165. The Senate conferees are Senator Meyer, Chairman, Senator Anderson, Senator Vasey. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 359. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with Ally Committee No. 1 on the House on amendments to House Bill 85. The Senate conferees are Senator Cole, Chairman, Senator Schiffer, Senator DiCaria. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Doctor of the day is Dan Dockham of Laramie. Nurse of the day is once again our favorite, Dr. Miley.
Mr. Speaker.
Pardon me, Representative Semlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
You may. Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, members of the 58th, we have visitors from faraway lands this morning, from Germany, Russia, and from Hewlett. Members of the body up in the North Gallery, we have foreign exchange students from Germany, Judith Ebert. We have Ksenia Paramonova from Russia, and these folks are part of the ASSE International group. They are accompanied by Mr. and Mrs. Greenacre and their daughter, Judith. Please welcome to the house.
Thank you, Representative Semlak, and welcome to the House. We're now in that order, Representative Hammond.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. This is a message from Representative Jorgensen to everyone. He wanted me to please thank everyone for their thoughts and best wishes. He has returned to Jackson, where he's under the care of his physician there. He developed, you know, he had a rash and he developed, they gave him medicine and now he's developed an allergy to the medicine, so the rash has spread. He's under his care, the care of his physician in Jackson, and he looks forward to returning next Monday. That's the message from Pete. I know if he were here, he would say, he would want to remind all of you that this is a supplemental budget year. We can take many of these issues next year during the normal course of events in the budget session. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Hammond. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Speaker.
Mr. Minority Whip, please.
Privilege floor. Thank you. Most of you realize what day this is. We're celebrating a birthday, and probably most of you know the background on it, but there are some kind of finer tuning points, and I thought maybe we'd mention this, and as I understand it, the good speaker will give you a test on this tomorrow. So we are going to go on with this, being aware that some time ago, Congress declared that February 21st would be the national holiday to honor our first president, George Washington. Now, later, they expanded this day to include all of the former presidents of the United States. But there's a point of interest that I thought we might be interested for some of us, because we sort of know this, but George was born on February 11th, not the 21st. Now, is this another goof by Congress? No. George Washington was born on February 11th, 1731, and he celebrated his first 19 birthdays on February 11th. But an act of the British Parliament in 1750 threw out the Julian calendar and adopted the Gregorian. We're sort of familiar with that. And in its stead, it forced it onto the colonies here in America and around the world as well. In the Julian calendar, the first day of the year had been March 25th. But that year, 1751, ended on December 31st. So the days between January and March 24th were thrown out from the calendar. So that legal year only had 282 days. Isn't that interesting? All right. And the period from January 1st to March 24th was dated 1752, a little over 2.5 months. So George was 19 years old on February 11th. 1750, but his 20th birthday was February 11th, 1752, not 1751. Now, since the vernal equinox had been displaced by 11 days in the Julian calendar, it was ordered that the differences be removed by taking 11 days from September 1752. So there is a calendar out there. It's worth a lot of money if it has September 3rd to September 13th in it, because there ain't none in the year legally. So the day after September 2nd was September 14th. Kind of shades of Rip Van Winkle there, isn't it? This required the addition of 11 days to compensate. So in 1753, George Washington celebrated his birthday on February 22nd instead of on February 11th. And back in the year 2000, Mr. Speaker, we thought the Y2K was a big deal. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Whip. Now in that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. First enrolled act for our consideration is the number 46.
House Enrolled Act number 46 being original House Bill number 177, an act relating to mines and minerals.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 46 being original House Bill 177. Next enrolled act for it is so signed. Our next enrolled act is 31.
House Enrolled Act 47, the original House Bill number 31, an act relating to state parks, historical and other sites for deposit of funds.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 47 being original House Bill 31. It is so signed. Our next enrolled act is number 48.
House Enrolled Act number 48 being original House Bill number 70, an act relating to school district audits.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 48 being original House Bill 70. It is so signed. Next enrolled act for consideration is 49.
House Enrolled Act number 49 being original House Bill number 81, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 49 being original House Bill 81. It is so signed. Our next act is Enrolled Act 50.
House Enrolled Act number 50 being original House Bill number 203, an act relating to game and fish regarding grizzly bear relocations.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 15 being original House Bill 203. It is so signed. Next Enrolled Act for signature is 51. My pardon.
House Enrolled Act number 51 being original House Bill number 207, an act relating to the Wyoming Livestock Board regarding confidentiality of information.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 51 being original House Bill 207. It is so signed. Next Enrolled Act for signature is 52.
House Enrolled Act number 52 being original House Bill number 170, an act relating to livestock products.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 52 being original House Bill 170. It is so signed. Next Enrolled Act is number 53.
House Enrolled Act number 53 being original House Bill number 48, an act relating to publication of legal notices.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 53 being originally House Bill 48. I have so signed. Next enrolled act for consideration is 54.
House Enrolled Act number 54 being original House Bill number 90, an act relating to circuit courts.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 54 being originally House Bill 90. It is so signed. Next enrolled act is number 55.
House Enrolled Act number 55 being original House Bill number 95, an act relating to Public Service Commission hearings.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 55 being original House Bill 95. It is so signed. Next Enrolled Act for signature is 56.
House Enrolled Act number 56 being original House Bill number 110, an act relating to the Wyoming Medical Assistance and Services Act.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 56 being original House Bill 110. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is number 57.
House Enrolled Act number 57 being original House Bill number 118, an act relating to alcoholic beverages regarding resealed bottles of wine.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 57 being original House Bill 118. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 58.
House Enrolled Act number 58 being original House Bill number 156, an act relating to paramutual wagering.
and about to sign Enrolled Act Number 58, being originally House Bill 156. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 59.
House Enrolled Act Number 59, being original House Bill Number 309, an act relating to bonds authorizing the reduction of terms of payment.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 59, being original House Bill 309. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 60.
House Enrolled Act Number 60, being original House Bill Number 291, an act relating to the administration of government regarding appointments and oversights of the Director of Office of State Lands.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 60, being original House Bill 291. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act for signature 61.
House Enrolled Act Number 61, being original House Bill Number 145, an act relating to election judges and counting boards.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 61, being original House Bill 145. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 62.
House Enrolled Act Number 62, being original House Bill Number 164, an act relating to county roads regarding use of county road construction funds.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 62, being original House Bill 164. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 63.
House Enrolled Act Number 63, being original House Bill Number 204, an act relating to criminal procedure, clarifying expungement of certain criminal records.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 63, being original House Bill 204. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 64.
House Enrolled Act Number 64, being original House Bill Number 227, an act relating to the University of Wyoming, establishing a challenge account to honor 8 student athletes killed in a vehicle accident.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 64, being original House Bill 227. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 65.
House Enrolled Act Number 65, being original House Bill Number 122, an act relating to the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 65, being original House Bill 122. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 66.
House Enrolled Act Number 66, being original House Bill Number 193, an act relating to real estate brokers and salesmen.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 66, being original House Bill 193. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 67.
House Enrolled Act Number 67, being original House Bill Number 19, an act relating to public health and safety regarding and relating to having external defibrillators.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 67, being original House Bill 119. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 68.
House Enrolled Act Number 68, being original House Bill Number 176, an act relating to the Department of Correction Facilities.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 68, being original House Bill 176. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act Number 35 from the Senate.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 35, being original Senate File 67, and an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding specific purpose excise taxes.
About to sign in Senate Enrolled Act Number 35, being original Senate File 67. It is so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 36.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 36, being original Senate File 89, an act relating to the involuntary hospitalization of criminal offenders.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 36, being original Senate File 89. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 37.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 37, being original Senate File Number 15, an act relating to public lands, creating the State Lands Preservation and Enhancement Account.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 37, being original Senate File 15. It is so signed. Next enrolled act is 38.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 38, being original Senate Bill 147, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system regarding rehiring in any capacity by a participating employer.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 38, being original Senate Bill 147. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 38-9.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 39, being original Senate Bill Number 53, an act relating to the Wyoming Cosmetology Act.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 39, being original Senate File 53. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 40.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 40, being original Senate File Number 68, an act relating to unfair labor practices.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 40, being original Senate File 68. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 41.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 41, being original Senate File Number 21, an act relating to administration of government regarding governmental entities to report boundaries and changes to boundaries.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 41, being original Senate File 21. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act Number 42.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 42, being original Senate File 83, an act relating to volunteer ambulance and rescue services.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 42, being original Senate File 83. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act is 43.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 43, being original Senate File 87, an act relating to the major maintenance payments for school buildings.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 43, being originally Senate File 87. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 44.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 44, being original Senate File Number 118, an act relating to the Wyoming Business Ready Community Program.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 44, being original Senate File 118. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 45.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 45, being original Senate File Number 60, an act relating to oil and gas operations.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 45, being original Senate File 60. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 46.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 46, being original Senate File Number 109, an act relating to public schools regarding self-administration of asthma medication.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 46, being original Senate File 109. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 47.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 47, being original Senate File Number 70, an act relating to elections, modifying provisions relating to voter registration.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 47, being original Senate File 70. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 48.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 48, being original Senate File Number 52, an act relating to business entities regarding electronic filing of reports.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 48, being original Senate File 52. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is Number 49.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 49, being original Senate File Number 28, an act relating to water rights.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 49, being original Senate File 28. I have so signed. Last Enrolled Act is Number 50.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 50, being original Senate File Number 57, an act relating to the Business Council of the Eastern Shoshone Indian Tribe and the Business Council of the Northern Arapaho Indian Tribe in the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 50, being original Senate File 57. I have so signed. And now at that order of business of reading reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1 on Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 90, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Landon, Lubnow, Olson, Robinson, White. No, Watt, sign Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1 on Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 150 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Landon, Lubnow, Olson, Robinson, Watt, White. Sign Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1 on Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 173 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Landon, Lubnow, Olson, Robinson, Watt, White. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Senate File Number 1, your Committee Number 2 on Appropriations has reviewed Senate File 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E1 and 12-2. The following lists are provided. Signed, Representative Felt, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Are there any written referrals? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if I could have your attention for just a minute. Next order of business will be concurrence requests. And it will be message 346 will be the first one. Chairman Osborne will be on deck as well. Now that order of business, a request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. First message is number 346, Representative Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 346, House Bill 101, Long-Term Care Ombudsman Amendments, and ask that you vote aye. These are non-substantive improvements in the language.
Is there any further debate? Any further discussion? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 101. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson excused. Bagby. Barnard. Berger excused. Oh, I'm sorry. Berger, aye. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Dingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammond. Harshman. Harvey. Castert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon.
Aye.
Latta. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miley. Miller.
Aye.
Morgan.
Aye.
Olson. Osborne.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Filt.
Aye.
Powers.
Aye.
Forbert.
Aye.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 101. The next message for our consideration is message number 347 to House and dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. Chairman Osborne, you're up, and Chairman Wasserberger, you're on deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 347, House Bill 109, Assisted Living Authority. This, again, is an improvement in the language of the bill and adds that the definition may include facilities with secured units for people with Alzheimer's disease or other dementia conditions. So I move your acceptance of this concurrence.
Any further discussion? Representative Miley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge
a cautionary note on this particular bill, because as you add other dementia conditions in assisted living facilities, you've opened up a whole new group of people that will be eligible for this additional facility. And as I said before, I am real concerned that as you do this, the Medicaid patients will be eligible for this, and I think there'll be a huge cost to the Medicaid program. As you're aware, there's another bill coming through to study Medicaid reimbursement for Alzheimer's, with the thought of trying to increase up the reimbursement for those conditions. And I think we're going down a road that's going to be extremely expensive. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind the body that this bill deals with a very small niche in our society. This bill was directed for the private pay assisted living facilities that want to include memory impairment as part of the services that they offer. This is private pay, and it should not affect Medicaid.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Seeing none, second time. Second time. Seeing none. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Hughes. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Aye. Powers. Forbert. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Wanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. The next message for our consideration is message number 350, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 186. Chairman Wasserberger and Chairman Philp, you're on deck. Chairman Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. New information that's just become available, we would like to wait till tomorrow for this concurrence report. Is that possible?
Without objection, the concurrence request to House Bill 186 is laid back for one day. We're now at that order of business of concurrence with message number 353, dealing with House Bill 255, State Employees Lodging Expenses. Chairman Philp, and Chairman Edwards, you're on deck. Chairman Philp.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we do concur on the message number 353, House Bill 255. The Senate amendments mainly clean up some language and require a report. Let's get vote on.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 255. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson, excused. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Haster. Hinckley. Eichel. Billaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen, excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Filth. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Ronitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Hastert. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 excused, 1 absent.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 255. The next message for our consideration is message number 354, dealing with House Bill 325, Tribal Identification Card. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 354 concerning House Bill 325, Tribal Identification Card. The prime sponsor of the bill concurs that this is an improvement, and we ask for your ask you to vote aye.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 325. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson, excused. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Billaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen, excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Filt. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Dwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 325. We're now at order of business, the bills on second reading. First bill for our consideration. No, we're not at that order of business. We have another order of business to take care of. Members of the House, it's a great pleasure and always an honor to invite back and be able to hear from Wyoming's senior senator, Senator Craig Thomas. So please come out and he'll join us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you, Senator. I understand you may have a couple of guests in the balcony as well. A very special guest, Bashim Pernaglib, who is a journalist from the District Russian newspaper, I knew I wouldn't get this one right. Cher Dovcak News. So please welcome him. He's up in the back. Mr. Perenkleeve is actually going to be working in the Rock Springs for a month. He's writing some stories on various issues. He'll be working with Veteran Service Officer Patty Bergen. He's going to write articles on veterans and the services that they receive in the United States, and he's also going to write about agricultural issues as well as some illegal drug problems. He was accompanied by Patty and Bill Thompson, and Mr. Thompson's the second vice commander of the American Legion in Rock Springs. So if the Thompsons would rise again, we'll give you another round of applause. Kind of an unusual name, I guess, that Bill Thompson name. Senator Thomas, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You did very well. I'll not take much of your time. I know you're very busy and they're working towards an end game, and that's a good one. But I do thank you very much for the opportunity to stop by for a moment. We're on the week's recess, and I'm traveling around the state and headed back to Casper and up to Jackson and over to Lander and a few other places. So it's great to be here. You know, we all have a great privilege, of course, and a responsibility to serve Wyoming. We have a chance to show leadership, of course, to make sure that we make a quality of life for Wyoming and for the people of Wyoming. And I hope that we take enough time to kind of have a 2020 vision of where we want to be in the future, where we want our state to be, some of the things that we work with, how will they be. And then as we move towards those goals that we established, we use those goals to help make decisions as to how to get there. And I know that you're doing a lot of things and a lot of efforts to improve Wyoming in the state legislature, and we're doing the same, working with Barbara and Mike, of course, in Washington to a real treat. And I'm using my seniority on the Finance Committee and on the Energy and Public Lands Committee and on Agriculture to try and do something to ensure that we're doing well in Wyoming and that we'll be doing well in the future. And I don't mean to, you know, build a fence around Wyoming, but that is our first value, and then of course the same thing applies to us nationally. And we have a lot of challenges. We have a lot of things that we're all working on, and so I hope that we can focus on those things that will be so important. We're talking about the quality of life here, of course. We have the economic security to talk about. Continue to support our energy and that in the future, as well as diversity in our economy, our agriculture, certainly our hospitality, our abundant natural resources are things that we need to take care of in the future, and no question about that. Personal freedom, after all, that's what this country's all about. I just met with some members of the National Guard that had returned. They'd spent the last 30 months, they'd been 25 months or something, on some active duty. Great guys, and we really owe a lot there. Independent spirit that we have in our community is so important.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Speaker, before Senator Thomas leaves, could I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I saw Senator Thomas this morning before 5 o'clock in the morning, and he had a T-shirt on that said, Race for the Cure, the fifth one. I had a Race for the Cure, the tenth one. We still got some checks to come in, so get with me soon.
Thank you, Representative Lockhart. thank you again, Hello. Senator. You're always welcome.
Hello.
Let's return to figure out if the mic still works. All right. We're now in that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to environmental quality regarding abandoned mine reclamation program.
Senate File 7. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture regarding grain laws.
Senate File 18, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 49.
Senate File 49, introduced by the Select Developmental Programs, an act relating to the Department of Health regarding health service providers.
Senate File 49, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Water Committee, an act relating to Water Development Account 3.
Senate File 69 does have a second reading amendment. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 69. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 69. Ladies and gentlemen, what that does on page 3 is take out the language that requires a two-thirds vote from both houses in order for funds to be diverted from this particular water account. The primary reason for that is that I just felt that that's the kind of hurdle that we don't want to build into statute. If we have those kind of hurdles built in, it could just be extremely difficult to move money around in times when we really have a need to shift some of our priorities.
Any other discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Neither on or for or against the amendment, but I'll stand up for make a correction of what I said Friday. This was not put in by the Senate when it went through on the Senate side. It was in the original bill, and I just kind of had a lapse of memory there for a while, I guess. So anyway, I just wanted to state that and let you know that. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd rise in opposition to the amendment. Actually, a two-thirds statutory vote means very little. You can maybe it would deter a little bit from the idea that we can steal from those funds that has been done in the past, and that I think maybe it would add a little bit of caution along the way. But however, statutorily, a two-thirds, anytime you want to do away with the two-thirds vote, you should stay notwithstanding and get 31 votes and it's out of there.
Is there any further discussion? Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as you all know, I asked the body and I passed it around upon adjournment last week to read Mason's Rule 51-6. 512 and 518, and it talks about majority votes and supermajority votes and what two-thirds constitutes. And sometimes it isn't 40 votes in the House. It's it's two-thirds of those voting. But I wonder why we need a two-thirds vote on something that gets the scrutiny of our water development project. You know, we have the committee that works on all of these projects, headed by a department head. Then we bring it back. What they decide then comes and is scrutinized by our legislative water development group. And then it's brought to the body. So I just wonder why we're so in love all of a sudden with these two-thirds votes. It really gives them a control of the issues to a small minority of people on and for the amendment.
Any further discussion? Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time? Second time. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge adoption of the amendment. I just think that we can don't need to designate this type of earmarking. I noticed that this fund is being created by monies being moved over from the Level 3 Green River and Wind River construction projects. I think that's all very legitimate. Had we had a two-thirds requirement on that particular project, there may be some people that, even if we'd had a more important project in the Platte River drainage, is there may have been some resistance to moving that, just because in the future you never can tell if you need to move it back there or something. And so I guess that I just want to give future legislators the ability to react to the times that are before them then in their time, and not lock it in with a kind of a historical requirement that we put on here.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 69. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Senate File 69 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
We have with us this morning a group of FFK students from Burns High School and their sponsor, Craig Spatz, one of the finest chapters in the state. Stand up, the FFA members, and we welcome you.
Thank you, Chairman Anderson, and welcome to the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, introduced by the Labor Committee and act relating to hospitals and health care providers.
Senate File 77, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 84.
Senate File 84, introduced by the Labor Committee and act relating to the Medical Assistance and Services Act.
Senate File 84 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 171.
Senate File 171, introduced by Senator Hawks and act relating to fines and penalties disposition.
Senate File 171 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 7.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, introduced by Senator DiCaria, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by amending the oath of office required of senators, representatives, and all judicial, state, and county officers.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Now in that order of business, the third reading of bills and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the following bills to a third and final reading on a consent list, consisting of Senate File 10, Senate File 13, Senate File 23, Senate File 85, Senate File 137, Senate File 144, Senate Joint Resolution 3. Members of the House may look at their yellow sheet and see Senate File 45. That has been taken from the consent list and moved to the regular list. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Does anyone desire to remove any of these bills from the consent list? Seeing none, the reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 10, introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to firefighters, employment, and appointments, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 13, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to trade and commerce regarding Residential Mortgage Practices Act, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 23, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to health care education, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 85, introduced by the Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, omnibus water bill construction, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 137, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to domestic relations, disestablishment of paternity, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 144, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to the Wyoming State Library Board repeal, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Joint Resolution Number 3, introduced by Senator Vasey, a joint resolution designating a portion of the Interstate 80 as the National Purple Heart Trail, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buell, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Dingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lovenell, Martin, McCombie, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Bilt, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Okay. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 10, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 13, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 23, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 85, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 137, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 144, are there any changes? McCombie, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate Joint 3, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate Files 10, 13, 23, 85, 137, 144, and Senate Joint Resolution 3 have passed the House. We're now in that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding open container law.
Senate File 8, and there is a third reading amendment. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. What this amendment does is just makes the language consistent with a previous bill that was passed out of both houses. Everything's consistent now, and that's why I brought the amendment. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate File 8, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Uholt. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gage. Gilmore. Gingrich. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Phelps. Phelps. Powers. Korber. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Duaniter. Mr. Speaker. Philp, no. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Goggles? Goggles, aye to no. Childers, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? I'm about to close the vote. Vote is closed. 37 aye, 21 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 8, having received the affirmative vote of those, the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 8 has passed the House. Senate, pursuant to Rule 9-3, Senate File 149 will be laid back for consideration tomorrow. Senate File 149 will be laid back for consideration until tomorrow. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding the permanent mineral trust fund deposits being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 25, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Uholt. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gage, Gilmore, Gingrich, Goggles, Hageman, Hammond, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, Nakomi, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Korberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Pastor? Aye to no. Peterson? Aye to no. Pedersen? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 28 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, Senate File 25 has failed to pass the House of Representatives, failed to receive the affirmative vote necessary to pass the House of Representatives. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to juveniles regarding child protection amendments.
We do, there are some amendments to Senate File 39, third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39. Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 1 on third reading to Senate File 39. What this bill does, or what this amendment does, if you look over on page 26, subsection C, what this whole section's doing is, what we're dealing with here is, if a child, let's say, is in a doctor's office and the child comes in and has bruises on the child, and the father maybe is sitting out in the lobby, and the doctor says, "Where did you get these bruises?" And the child says, "From dad." The doctor can instantly take that child into custody without getting a court order, without calling the police, which makes a lot of sense. That's how it should be. That's how that law should read, because the doctor needs to take that child into custody immediately without turning that child over to the father. And what it allows, if you look at subsection B on page 25, it allows a physician, a physician's assistant, a nurse practitioner, all those folks can take a child into custody. And also subsection A allows a law enforcement officer to take a child into custody. And A and B certainly make sense. The problem is subsection C, and how that presently reads is a district attorney. And just so you know, there's a statute in the statutes that just simply says that district attorney means the same as county attorney. So you can always read district attorney as county attorney, because we really only have two counties with district attorneys. But it says a district attorney may file an emergency petition, or the Department of Family Services, a local law enforcement officer, an administrator of a hospital, a doctor, a physician's assistant, a nurse practitioner, all of them can petition the court. So here's where the problem becomes. A nurse practitioner could potentially go to court, get an order of temporary custody, and if you look down at Romanette I down there, it appears they can also get a search warrant. So here's a nurse practitioner able to get an order of temporary custody, get a search warrant, and do all kinds of things without ever telling the DA that they've even gone to court. And that seems to be a little troubling, that you could potentially have all these different folks, a law enforcement officer, DFS on their own. DFS could totally go around the district attorney and just simply go to court on their own without ever telling the DA that they were going to court. And the physician could do that, and the physician's assistant, and the nurse practitioner. So what this amendment does, it takes out the ability for DFS, for a law enforcement officer, for a hospital administrator, for a physician's assistant, or a nurse practitioner to go to court on their own. They can still take the child into custody, because that's important, but they just need to contact their local DA. The DA will go to court for them and file the emergency petition for the protective order. But I just find it disconcerting that we would have a nurse practitioner obtaining search warrants. So that's just not appropriate. And so I would ask you to vote yes on Amendment 1.
Any further debate? Representative Robinson.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to know if the judges in the state would issue a search warrant to a nurse practitioner.
Representative Hinckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 58th, I can't answer the good representative's question from Natrona County, but as our good friend and colleague from Teton County has pointed out, that looks exactly like what this would or possibly could allow on and for the amendment. District attorney or the county attorney, there are protections. It's called an election. The district attorney or a county attorney uses this type of statute. There are elections that occur every 4 years. I think to allow this into a bureaucratic morass where they have no... put it this way, I guess they have plenty of protection in the bureaucracy because they don't have to worry about the voters kicking them out. So I think you really have to be very, very careful with this, and I think our good friend from Teton County has aptly pointed that out. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone else? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that the bringer of the amendment identified exactly what the committees that worked on this wanted to be able to be happen is that child who was there on Saturday morning at 3 o'clock with a broken arm, they didn't want to have to send that child back with a custodial parent. They wanted to, or with any parent or whoever the caregiver was, they wanted to be able to empower the people in the hospital to say, wait a minute, this child's life or health is in danger and we'd like to keep this child longer. This language was actually on page 17 and it was struck there and then moved over, but I think that in the move it probably looked like it was taken care of in section B as was previously indicated. I think that that probably this caution by this body is justified.
Any other discussion? For the first time, second time, Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the good representative from Casper's question, I'm not sure if a judge would ever issue a search warrant to a nurse, but my point is that it shouldn't be in the statute. I think most judges would have the good wherewithal to ignore the law in this situation and skip over it. But that's not a good reason why to just leave it in. I think we should write good legislation and make it clear that we're not giving search warrants to nurses. And I would just point out that the power for the doctor to take the child into custody does not go away. That power still needs to be there. That's an important power. These folks need to be able to take these children into custody immediately. A doctor or a nurse or a DFS worker, someone who has come into contact with the child. The only thing this amendment's doing is saying that you need to go to your local DA and have the DA handle the court proceedings. Nurses and whatnot shouldn't be going to court on their own. I don't think this happens very often. I don't know if it ever happens, because this is actually already in the statute. And I doubt it ever happens, but there's no reason to leave it in if it's just poorly drafted.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate File 39 has another reading third reading amendment to it. Third reading amendment number 2 will be laid back for the time being. Let's go to third reading amendment number 3. And that would be Representative Lovenow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 39. This is an old friend of ours, but I've heard this body speak. And this body said, do not let the Department of Family Services regulate our multidisciplinary teams. What this amendment allows is for the Department of Family Services to regulate using the multidisciplinary team as a marketing opportunity. In committee, we heard testimony about providers using the multidisciplinary teams to market their services. What the rules, and I point out in line 3 or in line 5 of the First Amendment and all the way through, it says that these rules can only be promulgated to provide procedures that will disclose financial interests, identify potential conflicts of interest, and use assessments as a marketing opportunity in making recommendations to the court. This language is very narrowly tailored to prevent the abuses, but also takes into account the concerns of this body that were expressed last week. I urge your careful reading and passage of this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I truly appreciate the efforts of the good representative from Campbell County that clearly is hearing the voice of the House and has really tried hard to get this amendment to a point that will work, and I do appreciate that. My difficulty is any rule. Any rule I'm going to be opposed to. And the main reason being, and I think we've discussed this ad nauseum, but maybe I should back up a little bit and explain a little bit about what happens on these MDTs. They're multidisciplinary teams, meaning there's different disciplines that come together, the prosecutor, the DFS worker, the mental health professional, someone from the school maybe, and they sit around and they come up with ideas on how to best serve this child. They then present those ideas to the judge. An MDT is not a tool of DFS. The MDT is a tool of the judge. It's a tool to assist the judge. The judge has full discretion to ignore the MDT. Very rarely do they do that, but on occasion, an MDT will come in with their recommendation, maybe a certain placement where they would like to see the child placed, and the judge will disagree with that, and the judge has that ability to disagree with an MDT. What I would argue is that because the MDT is the tool of the judge, if a judge wanted to promulgate what's called local rules, which judges do all the time, and says, this is how I want my MDTs run. I want my MDTs run a certain way. I want my assessments turned in, I don't know, 10 days prior to the hearing. I don't want anyone on those MDTs that potentially has a marketing conflict. Those type of rules. But that's something for the district court locally to decide. Each judge is different, and each judge should be given the opportunity to make that decision locally. To have DFS promulgating any rules changes the whole balance of power away from the district court and toward a state agency, and that is what philosophically I'm opposed to. And so I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Corbett.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this amendment also. And I do realize my colleague from Campbell County is trying to make this a better bill, but I just don't, this just isn't getting the job done for me. I still see this as DFS trying to do one size fits all. It appears to me that they can promulgate rules for how these MDTs are now going to report to the court and how the assessments are going to be used in making recommendations. And I just do not see how this can be in the best interest of a child. So I'm on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. As we heard, the MDTs provide a valuable service for the judges, and they are a tool that the judge should be able to rely on the information that comes from them. There has been some cases where there's been people on the MDT teams who have a conflict of interest, and so this amendment is only going to do three things. Only to provide procedures to, one, identify those financial interests and potential conflicts. Two is the reporting to the court. The reason that needs to be in there is there has been some MDTs that haven't been getting their job done on time, and they have not been getting the timelines done. And the third thing involves the assessments that MDTs use. As time has gone on, there's been a quite a bit of research in sociology, I'll say, in how you determine how you can test for various things. And there's a number of assessments that are out there, and some have been proven to be a lot more useful than others. And I think that the Department of Family Services can be a valuable tool in saying these are the assessments, according to our most current knowledge, these are the assessments that really can yield some useful information. And that's where that part has come in, is they can provide that expertise. So I think that this amendment will actually improve the information available to the judges, and I don't see where it's going to be taken away any of their local control. They can still add on whatever criteria they prefer to. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Miley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my first time. Neither on or against the amendment, a question that I needed to ask him. That is, when I was with the State Health Department, we had a lot of dealings with multiple disciplinary teams, and I occasionally would get individuals who would come in who had a lot of data about experimental type of treatments for these individuals, and I wondered, and having the medical background, I was able to understand that these were experimental and should not be utilized, and so did not accept them. And I'm wondering if the judge who's making this decision has that same sort of background, and whether there might be a problem with this. So I would certainly like to know the answer to that question before I decide whether to vote for or against this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address the representative from Laramie County's question, that's why we have multidisciplinary teams, is because the judge doesn't have all those skills, and so the judge needs to rely on others, and so the multidisciplinary team will continue under this bill. This doesn't get rid of them, and that's why we have them, so people that have these abilities to understand experimental treatments can advise the judge, and the judge can make a good decision based on advice from people that should know what the real information is. The point I wanted to make lastly was, I did, because we had a long weekend, I did have a chance to call some of the folks that had served on some of these committees that had formed this, and one of the things that was brought out was that there are guidelines being drafted by DFS that will be sent out to all these counties, and essentially what could happen is each county can look at those guidelines and decide if that's how they want it to work their MDT. And I don't have any problem with guidelines. Guidelines are helpful, and they're much different than rules. They're not dictating to you what you should do. It's suggesting to you what you should do. And so it seems as though there's already something in the works that will solve this problem, and that's guidelines. And again, I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Who else for their second time? Second time. Representative Lubna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer some of the questions that were asked with respect to the qualifications of our district court judges, many are very, very qualified in juvenile justice issues, but they certainly don't have the training that Dr. Miley has, others in the medical community, to know when treatments are experimental and when they're not. With respect to the multidisciplinary teams, and I don't have the statutory citation, and I was looking for it briefly in the break, but there was testimony to the effect that if the multidisciplinary team unanimously makes findings and a recommendation, that the court has to have clear and convincing evidence to vary from those findings. And so we are limiting our district court judges and placing them in a situation where perhaps the abuses through marketing, you get a unanimous recommendation at the multidisciplinary team meeting. Now, there's also testimony that placements of these types and natures run into the millions of dollars. When the state is spending millions of dollars and there's nobody responsible, or everybody's responsible for that expenditure, then nobody becomes responsible for that expenditure. And that's something I'd urge this body to consider.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate file 39. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment fails. We're now on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 39. Representative Brechtel.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment to Senate file 39 and I withdraw it at the proper time. Mr. Speaker, I just have some mild concerns about the type of legislation sometimes that we are generating here. And it just seems to me like maybe once in a while it's good just to take a minute and talk about expansion of government and potentially wrong approaches. Mr. Speaker, over the past few days we've heard that this legislation is in the best interest of children, and we need to protect children, especially our most vulnerable. We do need to protect our children. It's an honorable and worthy cause. But I submit to you that some of our most vulnerable are being torn apart in the most horrific way in abortion clinics without even the consideration of painkillers. So I guess I sometimes wonder, question government's ability as it remains so silent on such issues in its treatment. Does it really know what's best for children and families? I've been looking at for the redeeming qualities in this bill, and I understand there is some, but I'm not sure about the broader span of for the department in its use of multidisciplinary teams. And it's been said that to control a society that has no civil liberties is to, the best way to do that is to have an informant on every corner. I have some concerns about where the broader span of control with the potentially monetary enticements could be headed. God-centered families is really the only true source of hope and freedom in our country, and that was well recognized by our nation's founding fathers. It's only person only has to study the documents of our early nation's history to realize this. Even with the problems that we have with families, not government, are still the best institution in which to raise children, and we need to first recognize that when we generate legislation. We need to seek ways to strengthen families and the role of families before we work on ways to surgically tear them apart. The department is well intending, but far from perfect. And I've personally witnessed the aftermath of traumatized families, even in my own community, who really thought that the government was there to help, only after having been involved to find out that their rights were really violated. Mr. Speaker, I question whether this is the right legislation for this time against the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I will withdraw at the appropriate time.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if I'm for or against. I think I'm against. And for a few different reasons. The bill doesn't seem to do much of anything. It has a lot in it, and there's some confusing parts to it, and I just want to point those out. The first section essentially goes on for about three pages, and essentially the whole gist of it is that the department heads of the state of Wyoming need to talk to one another. I'm not sure if we need legislation to tell the executive branch that we don't like their management style. I just find that part odd, that we're just going to tell department heads that they need to talk to one another. Page 7 is sort of odd. It's, I think, the first time maybe ever in legislation that we're essentially putting a help wanted ad in the legislation. It essentially goes through and says what a DFS worker should be trained to do. That whole section really scares me, because now I'm starting to think, did they not know what to do prior to this legislation? That now they're waiting for this legislation to get passed, so now they know what we were expecting them to be doing. Page 19, it sets up these child protection teams. Well, when you actually look at what these teams will be doing, they're going to come up with a list of resources available in the community to children. Well, again, I'm not sure if we need to be setting up a team to do that. Just call up your local judge, your local prosecutor. I'm sure they can hand you the list that these are the resources we have in our community, because they deal with it every day. I just think we're creating more bureaucracy by having new teams created. And I know it's sort of a feel-good type of thing, but I'm not sure if it's needed. I'm against. I think I'd urge you to vote no on Senate File 39.
Right now, it's for the first time. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker. What we have is old language here, antiquated language, language that was put together when this was originally started, and frankly, this is an effort to improve this process that's gone through independent committees that have been set up for the last 4 years. And what it is a recognition that we can do a better job in helping children. The very first part of the bill that the good representative from Teton County talked about, which sets up that group of different agencies talking together, those are to try to help children that, for some reason, out of 15 out of the last 22 months, they have not had some permanency in their lives. They've been bounced around. There's something that's in the system that's failing, that they cannot get that safety and permanency and that feeling of well-being that they deserve. And so that's what this is aimed for, to give those children some safety and to give them that well-being to where they can grow up and be part of our Wyoming society. On page 8, it clarifies that we can provide different responses, that the DFS doesn't have to look at every report of abuse and neglect and investigate it. There's some of them that don't rise to that level, that they can look at that and they can do an assessment. And that's a lesser type of invasive, you might say, questioning of families, but trying to get them the help that they need to where they can help their children, and the way they're raising their children isn't going to be reported as abuse. You know, on page 19, it expands the membership on the multidisciplinary teams. giving them more ability to bring that expertise to the judge. It was spoken that the prosecutors could do a lot of the things that we were asking to be done here, but in fact they have jobs and they have a lot to do, and this can actually make the services available to kids greater in those communities. There is a part in there where we're training the caseworkers more, increasing training requirements for caseworkers. That seems to be a good thing for dealing with children and families. I think the main thing, too, is we're just trying to enhance the effectiveness of multidisciplinary teams and give them more ability to help out. This bill is just improving accountability, clarifying responsibility. I think that it goes a long ways to helping protect children who've been abused or neglected or otherwise that are in state custody. And it just seems that we have an opportunity here to actually improve the system. And it's so easy for us to sit back and just stay with the status quo. And it seems if we're ever going to make progress in the state, we have to take some chances to try to move things forward and give people more opportunity. This particularly vulnerable population, this is a proposal to help them out.
Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wanted to address a couple of points from the good representative from Teton County brought up. First, on page 7, when we sought to define some of the training that child protective service workers would receive, that was in direct response, ladies and gentlemen, to criticism over the past couple of years that we weren't paying enough attention to the rights of the parents against whom allegations of neglect were made. We made a special emphasis in this section to make sure that workers were trained in statutory procedure and the constitutional rights of parents. If you look at Romanet 2 and Romanet 3, you'll see that. So although it may seem a little strange to spell out how they will be trained, we intentionally put an emphasis on those things based on concerns raised by family groups last year. And as far as child protection teams, those already exist under current law and have for quite some time. We just wanted to add some clarity to what their roles were in the process. So those things aren't anything really new, and some of those sections were added to alleviate some of the concerns with the bill last year.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and for the bill, this bill was an interim study bill. Hours and hours of input and testimony was given on this bill. This bill did pass out of the Judiciary Committee. It's vitally needed for children. A lot of children in Wyoming right now are having a tough time due to methamphetamine and alcohol and a million different things, and this is a good bill, so I urge your support.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the bill and against the amendment. The courts, the Department of Family Services, and the multidisciplinary teams should be working toward the objective of safety for the child, but have some toward the objective of safety for the child. But these multidisciplinary teams should also have some autonomy in decision making, with the safety of the child again as their goal. We don't want innocent families to be maligned by this bill. However, we also don't want families to be able to harbor their dirty little secrets of abuse and be able to keep these from the public. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time. Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had a phone call just the other day from a grandmother who informed me that her grandchildren had been taken away from their parents, and she had brought the department in to try to help with the problem, and only to end up losing her grandchildren. And then she, in the end, her grandchildren are being split up in, to places even outside of the state. And she said, you know, this all came about because of a mistake that her husband had made 25 years ago and had paid for way back then. You know, if we can't build a system of trust amongst families, I'm not sure if we're ready for expanded roles within our department yet. I think we've got a long ways to go. With your permission, Mr. Speaker, I would withdraw the amendment.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 39 is withdrawn. Senate File 39, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholt. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gage. Gilmore. Gingrey. Goggles. Hageman. Hammond. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. Nagomi. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Peterson. Peterson. Filt. Powers. Torbert. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused. Slater. Thompson. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hageman. Aye to no. Harvey. No to aye. Latta. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 ayes, 17 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 39, having received the affirmative vote of those elected to the House, Senate File 39 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45, introduced by the Tribal Relations and Act relating to the Administrative Agency of Government regarding state tribal liaison, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 45, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brechtel? Aye. Brown. Buchanan. Buchholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hageman, Hammond, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filt, Powers, Korberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker, pro tem excused, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to change the votes. Are there any changes? Alden, aye, no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 45, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 45 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File 78, introduced by the Labor Committee, inoculating the medical malpractice insurance, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 78, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buchholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gage, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Filt, Powers, Korberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker pro tem excused, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 78 can receive the affirmative vote of those elected. Boy, I can't even speak today. Senate File 78, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 78 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Peck, inoculating the gasoline taxes, snowmobile gas tax distributions, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 103, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Newholt, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrich, Goggles, Hageman, Hammond, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Eichel, Illoy, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, Nakomi, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Dwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the votes. Are there any changes? Buchholz? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excuse.
Having received the affirmative vote and the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 103 has passed the House. You recall Senate File 149 pursuant to 9-3 was laid back a day. Mr. Majority Floor Leader? Or one of the two? Mr. Minority Floor Leader?
Mr. Speaker, having voted on the prevailing side, I move reconsideration of Senate File 25 as the next order of business.
I heard the motion. Without objection, the reconsideration will be the next order of business. So, those of you that are relatively new, when a motion for reconsideration is made within the last 10 days of the session, it has to be made during the day that the original vote was taken. Whoever makes that motion also sets the time for when that vote would be taken. The minority floor leader has made the motion, and he's also set the time for the next order of business, which would mean right now. So the first question will be, should we consider Senate file number 25? How soon we forget. So the first roll call will be rather not to reconsider the vote. If you vote aye, you reconsider it. If you vote no, you don't. Then if that vote is positive, meaning the ayes have a majority, then we go right to another vote on Senate File 25. So we are voting to reconsider consideration of Senate File 25. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bretzel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrich, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Eichel, Illoway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Wanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Osborne, no to aye. Jackson, no to aye. Hammonds, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 35 ayes, 23 noes, 2 excused.
Having vote to reconsider Senate File 25, the next order of business is a vote on Senate File 25. All those in favor of Senate 25 will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. So Senate File 25, having been read three separate times. The question is, will the bill pass the House? Senate File 25. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammond. Harshman. Harvey. Astert. Hinckley.
Aye.
Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Filk. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem excused. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Samuelson. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 39 ayes, 19 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 25, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 25 has passed the House. Chairman Philp, can I have a brief consultation with you? Members of the House, we're going to move into what is called third reading on the budget bill. What that basically is, Senate file only. The Senate version of the budget bill was sent over to the House. And here's a time, an opportunity for us to explain the amendments and to get a feeling of the House on how strongly we feel one way or another about certain Senate amendments. So what the order of business will be is Chairman Philp or members of the Appropriations Committee will explain the amendments. Then they will ask if anyone, or I can ask if anyone desires to have a vote on the amendment. So it'll be put in the positive motion, meaning you support this particular amendment. You think it's a good thing for the conference committee to adopt. We'll do a standing vote, and if 20 people stand up, in favor of an amendment, we're going to assume then, with two people absent, that 38 people are opposed to it. Again, for many of you, this is somewhat new. It certainly is a little faster than the process we used to use. But again, the purpose of it is to explain the Senate amendments to the budget and to get a feeling of the flavor of the House's position on certain amendments. So with that, pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, F-F1, Senate File 2 is placed directly on third reading for the purpose of the straw poll votes in the Senate amendments. Mr. Chairman Phil.
Mr. Speaker, and just a point of order before we start, I think it's also allowed for questions and discussion and as we go along.
Thank you, Chairman Philp. Absolutely. This is a time for members of the House to ask questions about the amendments and to have those, hopefully those questions answered as well.
Yeah. And
and Chairman Philp, you might want to explain what everybody has on their desk so they know where they'll find it.
Okay, I will. And you should have a cheat sheet. Mine's highlighted up like this, but you should have a cheat sheet like that. You should have a list of the amendments that looks like that, and with a space on it for eyes, nose, absent, excused. That's the list of Senate amendments that we considered in the Appropriations Committee, and we're considering the amendments that are not identical to the House amendments. The identical amendments are off the table. The identical amendments you will see on the first page of your cheat sheet at the top there, about the top third of that page is all of the identical amendments. And on that, I would call your attention to one in particular. If you'd allow me a little bit of latitude here, Mr. Speaker, two-thirds of the way down that page, you'll see under the agency number, it's section 333. And the reason that's considered an identical amendment, although it involved two House amendments and one Senate amendment, the net result was the same. They ended up being identical after both of the House amendments were considered on the budget. Going on down the page then, we'll go to the non-identical Senate amendments. And the first one is about in the middle of the page there where it says $10,000 general fund off to the left under the general fund column. And under the amendment number is S-2021. That is to agency number 6. It added funding to expend $10,000 general fund for contracting with an actuary to study potential law enforcement retirement system changes and additions. And that was in the ANI budget. And Mr. Chairman, are there any questions or discussion, or does anybody desire a vote on that?
Thank you, Chairman Phil. What I might explain, if no one desires to vote, we take the position that the House feels strongly about not supporting the Senate amendment.
Mr. Speaker, the next amendment is $400,000 general fund. It's S-3006. That amendment added $400,000 for a death benefit for guardsmen killed in a war zone, allowing for up to four payments of $100,000 per casualty.
Is there any discussion, any questions on that amendment? Does anyone desire to take a vote on that amendment?
Mr. Speaker. The next one is $32,100 general fund. That is S-3015. Added $32,100 general fund and a footnote to the AG's office for domestic violence shelters.
Does anyone wish to discuss this amendment? They need any more information on it. Anyone desire a vote on the amendment? Chairman Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to go back to this $400,000. Once these people are activated, do they not fall on the federal guidelines for the death benefits?
Chairman Edwards, you went back on the $400,000 one, correct?
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any other... Chairman Phelps.
And that's on 30-06. That one, as I understand, the federal benefit is much less than that. And I think, I'm thinking it's like $20,000, but I'm not sure.
Chairman Edwards.
So, Mr. Speaker, this, and what I'm reading this as, is we're going to give four casualties. We're going to give $100,000 to their survivors. Is that what that said?
Well,
Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Speaker, for each, what I understand is for each casualty, for each serviceman that was lost in a war zone, that they would get $100,000. As a death payment.
Chairman Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, I would be against that particular amendment.
Representative Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question.
Please proceed.
And it may be what was just portrayed there, but my reading of this is that what they've done is added a $400,000 death benefit for any individual that's killed over there, and they're going to make four payments of that $400,000. I'm just asking the question.
Chairman Phil, did you catch that question?
No, I didn't.
Representative Walsh, would you repeat the question, please?
Sorry. My question is, it's my understanding of what's written here, and I'm not sure at all that I'm correct, but my understanding that if a person gets killed in the combat zone, they get their family get $400,000 to be paid in four payments. Is that? That's not correct.
Chairman Phelps.
And we'll have to talk to the Senate about that, but that was not the way I understood it. The way I understood it, it was $100,000 per casualty, and they assumed that there might be four.
Thank you.
That was my understanding. No, I could be wrong.
Thank you.
Any other questions? We stepped back on one. I think it's because we had a three-day weekend, right? We're just a little slow. So any other discussion on 400,000 to 3006A? Chairman Edwards.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I've been asked to say why I'm against this. I am not certain what the current casualty payment to a regular Army individual, say, or Navy or Air Force, whoever it is, but I think it's somewhere around $20,000 or $30,000. And to me, this is way out of line to pay an individual just because he's in the National Guard and activated 3 to 4 times what the regular Army, the regular Navy, and the regular Air Force get. So I think this is way out of line.
Any other questions or discussion? Representative Walsh.
Mr. Chairman, another question. It's my understanding that currently that death benefit for any active soldier, Guard, Reserve, full-time Army, Air Force, Navy, is $12,000 today. Maybe that's $12,500. And the federal government is considered raising that to like $200,000 or something. But it's my understanding that's only about $12,500 right now for anyone that's in a uniform killed in a combat zone. I guess I'm asking that as a question also, Mr. Chair.
Chairman Bell?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Representative Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, I would just like clarification again. If we agree with an amendment, we ask for a vote on it. If we disagree with it, we don't do anything. So so far we're real disagreeable, I think. Is that right?
Representative Robinson, let me go through the process again.
Okay.
And maybe this will help. What we're doing is learning about the Senate amendments. We've already voted on the House amendments, so we know how we feel about those. So as the Senate amendments come up, the chairman of the Appropriations or members of the Appropriations Committee will explain them and answer questions, maybe even ask a few questions about them. Then if any individual, any representative wants to have a vote on how the House feels about a Senate amendment, they just need to let me know. And then it will be phrased in the positive, all those in favor of Senate Amendment 3006, please rise. And then that will give us an idea of the feeling of the House on a particular Senate amendment. If there is no request for a vote, we assume that we're not in favor of the Senate amendment, and the conference committee can take that for what it's worth. Does that help? Any other questions about this? Chairman Landon?
Mr. Speaker, I was trying to remember the process, too. It seemed like we assumed that everybody would go along with it, except then it seemed like the speaker would ask for those who didn't, after talking about that, to stand, and then the no votes were counted. Is that correct?
Chairman Landon, what I would, again, to keep things in the positive, I would go with the positive motion and say 20 people stand in favor of a Senate amendment. Then it would be assumed, like today, rather than have the negative votes taken, we assume that 38 were against it. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm still woefully confused, okay. I guess. The first few that we're going to consider here must be Senate amendments because they're preceded by an F.
Correct.
Then we get to some that are preceded by an H, which I assume means those are House amendments. So are we doing the same thing there? If we need to ask for a vote to support those?
Representative Brown, we've already voted on those in the budget process. So we know they were adopted by the House. And we assume that the House fills at least 31 votes in strength of those amendments.
Chairman. Mr. Speaker?
Representative Walsh.
Mr. Chairman, feel free to rule me out of order here at any point because I'm kind of reaching too, but I would like to call for a vote on this if my understanding is correct. Then what we would be doing is saying we more or less concur with what the other body has done. Then it would go to a conference committee to actually get into it and take a look at some of the questions that we've asked about how much does one actually get today and that type of thing, and a different number would probably come out. Is that correct?
Representative Walsh, why don't we go ahead and do a test case right here just to show how it's done. And you just made a motion to vote on Senate Amendment 3006. Is there any further discussion on Senate 3006? Representative McComb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I rise. There was a question asked as they get four $100,000 payments. It says, I'm reading from the amendment, the benefit shall be in the amount of $100,000 per deceased Guard member and paid to the beneficiary or beneficiaries specified by the deceased Guard member prior to the deployment. So it is $100,000, not $400,000.
Any further discussion on Senate Amendment 3006? All right, question being called for. So, again, the purpose of the straw poll is to determine how the House feels about a particular Senate amendment. So if you're in favor of the House eventually adopting Senate Amendment 3006, you will rise in favor of this amendment. So all those in favor of Senate Amendment 3006, please rise. There would be 9 in favor, so we assume that there are 47 opposed. We have 2 excused. 49. And again, this is only guidance. guidance. It's a straw poll. It's guidance. Later, when the conference committee actually gets busy, they can look back on this vote and see, get a flavor of what the House felt like on the vote. Please understand, it's a straw poll. By the nature of a conference committee, it's not going to be very binding. In fact, it's not going to be binding at all. It's just to get a flavor of how the House feels about Senate amendments. Is there any other questions about the process? Representative Brechter.
Mr. Speaker, I and this is just kind of going back on this same issue, but as I look at that particular amendment, if you read the wording the way it is, it would say up to, 100,000 up to four payments would indicate to me that 400,000. I think maybe some of us might feel like our state could do something for our people, but hopefully the conference committee would be able to somehow take that back.
Thank you. Is there any other? We probably closed off 3006. That was a good test case, right? Good example. We're now on Senate Amendment 3015.
Mr. Speaker, and that added $32,100 general fund to the Attorney General's Office for Domestic Violence Shelters.
Is there any discussion or questions about Senate Amendment 3015? Seeing none, anyone require a vote? Request a vote. Chairman Philp, we're now on Senate Amendment 2004.
Mr. Speaker, this is on, added a footnote to the Department of Audit for Educational Services audit at the Wyoming Girls School. And I think that footnote probably said that they would do that within their existing funding.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I would support this amendment that the Senate has passed, because I believe the Wyoming Girls School needs to be included with this audit across the state, because there are a lot of kids there that are going through the process, and I don't know whether they were inadvertently left out, but these are this is an important population that we see what is being done in their educational services, and that audit include this school. And it doesn't look as though it includes any additional revenue.
Is there any further discussion? Chairman Land.
Mr. Speaker, I'd urge the body to support this amendment also.
Any further discussion? Good question, and I'm sensing that we will take a vote on this one. So all those in favor of Senate Amendment 2004, please rise. Forty-four voted. That gives us a good sense. The next amendment is Senate Amendment 3017.
Mr. Speaker, this was a funding shift. This one, it added a footnote, and 30,000 general fund shifted from Family Services budget to the Department of Education budget. And an internal shift of 30,000 general fund to a quarterly employment survey. It's a total of 60,000 general fund for completing this the survey. I'm sorry, and I think I said Wyoming Family, it's Workforce Services. I'm sorry.
Is there any discussion or questions about this amendment? Seeing none.
Okay. And the next amendment had to do with the Highway Patrol. It's S2001 to the Transportation Department. It added $600,000 general fund and five full-time positions for additional troopers.
That's Senate 2001.01, correct?
Correct.
And Senate 3003.
Yes, I think there's a question. Nope. I'm
well,
sorry. Any debate on the S2001?
Mr. Speaker, I might
Representative Jones.
Thank you. I might explain one reason why this is in there, because the House position also has $600,000 and five positions, but in our budget, there is a provision in there that for them to come back in a year for five more positions. That's the only place that the Senate and the House versions disagree. The positions and the dollars are exactly the same. It's just that to come back in a year for five more.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, just looking at the amendment above that, it shows five troopers funded by highway funds instead of general funds. And our Senate file says from the general fund. Special revenue, never mind.
Any questions on the troopers? I'd certainly like to go through that again. Seeing none, Mr. Chairman Phil, Senate Amendment 2003.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, in 2003, that just changed the funding sources for the $600,000 for the highway patrolman from general fund to special revenue, which is highway money.
Senate Amendment 2003.
2003, out of the footnote to the Department of Transportation Administration Program for Analysis of Revenue and Expenditures Associated with License Plate Sales.
I believe there may have been a vote request, is that correct? I think it was a question again on the highway patrolman, and there was a question not whether we wanted to vote on the strength of the position, but the two positions are identical. However, the House position was in the year following this one, there would be a request for five additional slots. So we assume we want the House position. Any further questions?
That's right, Mr. Chairman. Does the House position also move it to the funding to the Department of Transportation?
Chairman Anderson, it does indeed. We did two amendments. There.
Mr. Speaker, there was just the additional language in the House position that they would come back and request an additional five.
Any other questions? Representative Alden.
Mr. Speaker, that $600,000 for the five full-time highway patrol, is that correct?
Chairman Phil?
Okay.
That's right. And the House position was to be funded by highway funds.
Cool. Chairman, Representative Alden.
Mr. Speaker, could you explain how that funding's broken down? I mean, it's $100,000 for, there's $600,000 for five positions. I should have come to appropriations for that. Could you just, by casually go through that?
Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Speaker, it's for a first year funding of their salaries and benefits, the support costs, and automobile, all the things that they need when you put on a new highway patrol.
Chairman Alden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No more questions.
Any other questions about those three amendments? Seeing none, Chairman Phelps would like to address Senate Amendment 2003.
Mr. Speaker, that added a footnote to Department of Transportation Admin Program for Analysis of Revenues and Expenditures with License Plate Sales. Mr. Speaker, and I think where they're getting at is formerly the Departments of Corrections used to make the license plates. I think they want to see what this is costing now.
Any other questions? Anyone desiring to vote on S2003? Chairman Philp, S2026.
Mr. Speaker, that added a footnote requiring Department of Health to maintain and periodically update databases of physicians engaged in active practice in the state.
Any other questions about S2026?
Mr. Speaker, apparently they're required to do that within existing funding.
Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, that was my question. Wondering if, because there were many physicians who were licensed but not practicing, and if this was viable to occur on that or not. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Miley.
Mr. Speaker, just to point out that the House also had that same position, which is the next amendment there. The Senate amendment was just a little more inclusive.
Yeah, there's a little bit of difference there in the language. And, Mr. Speaker, typically what we'll do there, I think, as I understand it, the House has a better wording there, so we would delete the Senate amendment and accept the House wording on that, which is what we like to do. Okay, Mr. Speaker, I think we're on the next page.
Representative Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a word of advice on that, Representative Phillips.
Chairman Osborne.
I think when you go to conference on that, those two particular amendments, that they need to keep an open ear on. There's another possibility on that, and I think the Wyoming Healthcare Commission also is working on this and may be in better shape than the Department of Health to work on it. So I leave that for you to look into.
Yeah, and Mr. Speaker, we would have to, as long as the language comes in between the two positions.
You're right. Thank you.
On the first.
Any other questions? Chairman Phelps?
Okay, at the top of the page, the next page, S3023. That added $300,000 general fund and a footnote for developmental disabilities matching monies in Sweetwater County. And that the Senate adopted that, and we did not adopt that.
Representative Hastert.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I respectfully ask for consideration on this. This is the amendment that I brought forward on. This is the emergency funding that we talked about for SWRC that came through, and I respectfully would ask that we support this.
Any other further discussion?
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Phelps.
And it's my understanding that Sweetwater County Commissioners have voted not to help fund this. And I never have gotten any information on that, but I just wonder if they have
Representative
taken
Hastert.
A position on it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, they initially had voted it down, and there was some acute confusion on state and local monies, and that's why the amendment draws it to strictly with the support of the county commissioners and matching like, because they were close to $600,000, and this is strictly a state and local match.
Any other discussion? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to be clear that I declare a conflict on this.
Is there any other discussion? Representative McComber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if this is for the deficiency because of some criminal activity that took place in that area, well, should not have been bonded, and or how is this? I guess I'm confused as to what we're doing involved in that. Those kind of positions should be bonded.
Representative Hastert, I'm going to have you hold off for just a minute, see if there are more questions. Representative Alden?
Mr. Speaker, my questions are similar to the good representative from Fremont County. It was my understanding that this facility had the mismanagement of their monies, that in fact they were not up to standard care for this DD group. My question now is, why would we supplement this level of care and also furthermore faulty bookkeeping system? I guess I don't really see that as our role at all.
Any else for the first time? Anyone else? Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, let's go back a little bit. I think these are questions, first of all, that should be asked, because if you have forgotten here. So an answer sort of in reverse here of what our duty is or what our responsibility is are to people who cannot help themselves and who have found themselves in an inordinately unfortunate situation due to no fault of their own. So what this appropriation footnote does is to buy time for those people. Buy time for things to come together and smooth out. What we have here is a situation in Sweetwater County is new management. And due to negative inertia, still being punished or finding themselves frustrated in actions to help these people. This is a measure then that was designed to show those of us on the floor here that matching funds are then in a good faith gesture. They have to be showing support. They have to be showing care. And we then, because of the confusion, I wish you, I'll just say it this way to you. There have been phone calls after phone calls, conferences, face-to-face meetings, over and over to get this straightened out. I have full confidence in this measure that goes through from this body, looking and helping those who can't speak for themselves at this point due to bureaucratic mismanagement, which is now straightened out to my satisfaction.
Anyone else? Representative Robinson.
Mr. Speaker, it was discovered years ago that it was in the best interest of the state to have nonprofits take care of the needs of the people that are being served by this particular entity. And the reason for that, there were several reasons, and one was financial, because nonprofits are able to draw in money that the state doesn't have access to, and they work together in a collaboration. And if it weren't for the nonprofits, the state would have sole responsibility for the people that are being served. So I believe that it is in our best interest to do this match.
Representative Davison.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker and members, I just want to bring to light, I don't think the standard of care was ever in question. I believe that the care was there. I don't think that it was due entirely to mismanagement. There were some questions, and I think we've been, as the good senator from Sweetwater County said, our representative from Sweetwater County said, is that we have worked through these things. We've been on lots of conferences, and we've talked to commissioners, and we've talked to individuals there. And it seems to me that these things have been worked out. This is an emergency, I think, that we need to really look about. And I think we really need to think about the people that we're talking about here. As the good representative from Sweetwater County said, there's no one else to speak for these people. If this fails, these people are going to be displaced, and many of them don't have families to help them. And I think that is our responsibility. Thank you.
Anyone else? Chairman Phelps, I'm sorry, Representative Alden, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am, in fact, thinking on behalf of these DD folks. And I would like to say I think that they deserve more than they have gotten thus far in stabilization of programmatic areas and stabilization of funding. I'm in agreement with this amendment to support it. However, they do deserve better than having to come to us for this type of an emergency. Thank you.
Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Speaker, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do something here. I just would like to hear something from our partners who would be the county commissioners in Sweetwater County. So far, we haven't heard anything from them other than hearsay from the county commissioners. And I have heard that, and this is the hearsay part, is that they didn't support this. That's strictly hearsay. And I'd like to hear from the county commissioners with a letter from them or a resolution or something like that.
Representative Hastert.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And to the good chairman's request, I would arrange for, before the conference committee on the budget, a letter from the Sweetwater County commissioners. And as far as the amendment is concerned, as I stated earlier, or weeks ago when we first looked at this, this was ran through the Attorney General's office numerous times, and it for constitutionality. And I believe that it's already been covered, but just to reinforce the fact that the former administration was where the problem was. The department, the SWRC, has a whole new administration, and it's under the watchful eye of the county residents. And as my good colleague from Sweetwater County, these are the people. The people there have no place else to go. There's no place else to take care of them. When the Department of Health talked to me about this, that was their main concern. There was no one else there to do this. And we have been assured through the agency this is a one-time assistance, and I respectfully ask for your consideration on it. And I will take care of the chairman's request before the conference committee.
Thank you, Chairman, or Representative Astor. We are voting to show support for Senate Amendment S3023. All those in favor of the Senate Amendment, please stand. Thank you. Ms. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we recess until 2:15 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. All those in, are there any committee announcements? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now. In House 18, we'll discuss Senate File 140 engrossed, Senate File 130, Senate File 88 engrossed, and Senate File 104 engrossed.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation Highways and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment this afternoon to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to follow up work on Senate File 71.
Mr. Speaker, pro tempore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Conference Committee on House Bill 165, Open Meetings Law, will meet at 1:30 in the Senate Corporations Room.
Any other committee announcements? Motion is to adjourn until, or to recess until 2. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Conference Committee on House Bill 235, the Liquor Commission will meet on adjournment in the Senate Revenue Committee meeting.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to re-refer Senate File 150 to Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 150 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Motion is to recess until 2:15. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. House is in recess till 2:15 p.m.